Good evening.
Good evening.
I enjoyed that this morning. Good morning. Good morning. I just heard it again. Good evening. Oh, that's nice. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing and a privilege to be able to preach His Word or read His Word as we're going to do this evening. We're going to be reading. And imagine that. That's what happens a lot when I get up here. We read a lot. But I love the Word of God. I love reading it. And we're going to do that tonight. I'm going to begin in the first chapter of the Book of Jacob in the Book of Mormon. Starting in the first verse. And I want you to, if you've got our copy of the Book of Mormon in your hand, they have estimated dates. And I want you to take notice of those dates as we're reading through that. Mine says here 545 BC. And we're going to be reading through the history. A more historical part of the Book of Mormon, a time where there wasn't much record kept. But what was kept spoke volumes, I think, of what took place during the time of the writer. Let's begin in the first verse of the first chapter of the Book of Jacob. I've got page 166. First verse. For behold, it came to pass that 55 years had passed away from the time that Lehi left Jerusalem. So 55 years had passed away since Lehi and Nephi and Nephi's brothers and brothers and their wives and Nephi's mom had left Jerusalem. Wherefore Nephi gave me, Jacob, a commandment concerning these small plates upon which these things are engraven. And he gave me, Jacob, a commandment that I should write upon these plates a few things which I considered to be most precious, that I should not touch, save it were lightly, concerning the history of this people, which are called the people of Nephi. For he said that the history of his people should be engraven upon the other plates, and that I should preserve these plates and hand them down unto my seed from generation to generation. And if there were preaching which was sacred, or revelation which was great, or prophesying, that I should engraven the heads of them upon these plates and touch upon them as much as it were possible for Christ's sake and for the sake of our people. And because of faith and great anxiety, it truly had been made manifest unto us concerning our people what things should happen unto them. And we also had many revelations in the spirit of much prophecy. Wherefore we knew of Christ and his kingdom, which should come. Wherefore we labored diligently among our people that we might persuade them to come unto Christ and partake of the goodness of God, that they might enter into his rest, lest by any means he should swear in his wrath they should not enter in, and in the provocation of the days of temptation, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Wherefore, we would to God that we could persuade all men not to rebel against God, to provoke them to anger, but that all men would believe in Christ and view his death and suffer his cross, and bear the shame of the world. Wherefore I, Jacob, take it upon me to fulfill the commandment of my brother Nephi. So in 545, thereabouts, B.C., before Christ, they were following and keeping the commandments of Christ, what they knew beforehand that he would speak and he would teach. And they were keeping the commandments of God. Now let's flip over to the last chapter of Jacob, it's chapter 5, verse 445, and notice the date, 542 to 421 B.C. So, I'm assuming it's probably closer to the 421. But anyway, let's say more or less 100 years. It says in verse 45, "And I, Jacob, saw that I must soon go down to my grave. Wherefore I said unto my son Enos, take these plates. And I told him the things which my brother Nephi had commanded me. And he promised obedience unto the commands. And I make an end of my writings upon the plates, which writing hath been small. And to the reader I bid farewell, hoping that many of my brethren may read my words. Brethren, adieu." And by the way, when you get a chance, read these words. He said his writings were small. Well, here they were five chapters. Of course, compared to Nephi, who wrote, I don't know, what is it, in first book of Nephi, it's 7. Second book of Nephi, it's 15. But 165 pages. And then now Jacob, 25 pages maybe. So it's smaller than Nephi's, but still, he wrote quite a bit. Now let's turn to the book of Enos. But I want to point out something. During the days of Jacob, his desire, his goal was to teach his people the ways of Christ, that they might be obedient. And their lives might have meaning, that they might have joy, that they might do what's right. Starting in verse 1 of the book of Enos, "Behold, it came to pass, I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before that I received a remission of my sins." We know Jacob was obedient. And he passed these plates to his son. There was a time his son wasn't obedient. He had committed sins. But now he's going to talk to us about that time, a time when he recognized his sins. And he recognized that he had been disobedient. He'd been shown the right ways, but yet he chose disobedience. But let's go on. In verse 4, "Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak." I want to point that out because that's our goal as parents. Speak the words of truth to our children. Often, it says. He still chose disobedience for a while, but it came back. Those words of truth that his father often spoke to him. Okay, verse 4. "Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints and the words, eternal life and the joy of the saints and the words of my father sunk deep into my heart. And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him." He had that desire down deep to know the truth of his father's words. To know this God that he'd seen manifest in the joy of his father. He wanted to come to know that. And he says, "And all the day long I cried unto him, yea, and when the night came, I did raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed." Can you imagine the joy? I know I can, because I felt it. Knowing and hearing God's voice. When before it was just faith. But having a knowledge by hearing the voice, it's joyful. "And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I saith, Lord, how is it done? And he saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen." Because of his faith in Christ. You know, we can't see Christ. We haven't seen him. We've heard of him. We've read about him. And when we read about him more, and when we just, as in Alma chapter 16, I assume it's Alma preaching, I can't remember. If we just try his word with a seed of faith, with a small amount of faith, he will let that seed swell up within us, and we'll know of a surety that his word is true. And it says, and in verse 10, "And he saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen, and many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh," speaking of Christ. "Wherefore go to it, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now it came to pass, when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them." I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but when I was about 15 years old, I had heard testimonies about how God is true and that He answers prayer. And I had come to a point in my life where I wanted to believe that. I'd tried the world a while, and I knew that it didn't bring me any joy, and I wanted to believe that there was a God. And so I was at a church camp, and the whole week I'd been praying, "God, please," you know, because I was really at a point in my life where if I didn't have something, and God knew this, if I didn't have some sort of knowledge of him, I guess it is, that I was going to go astray, and I was going to head down a bad road, so I was praying, "God, please." And I didn't know, you know, about, you know, you shouldn't ask for a sign and stuff, but I at that time, I just wanted something to know. And I said, "God, please, if you're real, show me some way." I didn't tell him a certain way, you know, throw this at me, or, you know, let me see a powerful, you know, but I just said some way. And I was praying that all week, but I had this faith. God blessed me with this faith that I would know somehow. And I remember we were sitting at a campfire, and as we were singing songs about the Lord, I was sitting next to a friend, and she was a friend. So we were holding hands, but she was a friend. It wasn't a relation, you know, more than a friendship. But she had had these horrible fights with people during the week, and I began to pray for her. And As I prayed for her, I looked over and she began to glow. And it was just this love that I felt. And then, I'm sorry, I was wrong. As I began to pray for her and I was holding her hand, I felt this love first. And I noticed that I was glowing, and this glow went into her hand and up her arm. And what God was pointing out to me was that He was there, and that He loved me, and that He loved her, and that He wants His love to grow and to flow. And I remember as I saw that, it was so magnificent to me, I began praying about other people in the camp. Well, the campfire was ending at that time. And I prayed that she would be reconciled to this camp leader who she badmouthed the whole week. And as I prayed that, she walked up to him, the camp leader, and I saw them talking, and then I saw them hug. God answered my prayer. And then I said, and then I saw, another friend who had done the same thing with her, badmouthed this camp leader. And I prayed for him, and he walked up to the camp leader and hugged and then I prayed for that lady friend again, and I prayed for her and this other friend who'd been arguing, and immediately they walked up and hugged. And this was an answer to me that when you ask for things that are right, that are good, that God answers. And I knew at that point that there was a God. But what I wanted to point out was that he says here in verse, let's see. In verse 12, now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore I did pour out my whole soul unto God. And while I was struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. I have given unto them this land, and it is a holy land, and I curse it not, save it be for the cause of iniquity. Wherefore I will visit thy brethren according as I have said, and their transgressions will I bring down with sorrow upon their own heads. And after that I, Enos, had heard these words, my faith began to be unshaken in the Lord, and I prayed unto him with many long strugglings for my brethren, the Lamanites. So first his desire was for his brethren, the Nephites. And God answered and said, I will bless them unless they transgress against me. And of course, we can't in our prayers. We can't pray for someone that they'll be saved by the power of God, and it's going to happen despite their own will. Everyone has their own will, but that doesn't keep us from praying. If you desire somebody to come closer to the Lord, to humble themselves before the Lord, pray for them. It won't hurt, and it definitely will help. Verse 17, his love grew. His faith in Christ grew. It grew to where he began to pray for who? His enemies. Christ tells us in the Bible, pray for your enemies. The whole parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans and the Jews were not friendly. It was their enemy who was the one who humbled himself and took care of the man. Verse 18. So So we should do good to our enemies, as Enos did, and pray for our enemies. Verse 18, "And it came to pass that after I had prayed and labored with all diligence, the Lord said unto me, I will grant unto thee according to thy desires, because of thy faith. And now behold, this was the desire which I desired of him, that it should so be that my people, the Nephites, that if it should so be that my people, the Nephites, should fall into transgression and by any means be destroyed, and the Lamanites should not be destroyed, that the Lord God would preserve a record of my people, the Nephites, even if it so be by the power of his holy arm, that it might be brought forth at some future day unto the Lamanites, that perhaps they might be brought unto salvation. For at the present our strugglings were vain in restoring them to the truth," to the true faith. "And they swore in their wrath that if it were impossible, that if it were possible, they would destroy our records and us, and also all the tradition of our fathers." So, he prayed for the Lamanites, but they had their choice. They had their agency. And they chose evil. But God, because of his faith and his prayer in faith, granted that in some future day, and we know that that's happening now. Can you imagine? We're part of this history. That's happening now. That's what God's called us to do. Bring this word that God's preserved unto the Lamanites. Verse 23. "Wherefore I know that the Lord God was able to preserve our records." "Wherefore I, knowing that the Lord God was able to preserve our records, I cried unto him continually, for he had said unto me." The details of these words just they stand out to me. He cried unto God continually. When we're in the car, cry out to God. When we're at home, when we're brushing our teeth, when we're in the shower, cry out to God continually. Because here's the proof. He answers. "Wherefore, I, knowing that the Lord God was able," verse 23, "to preserve our records, I cried unto him continually, for he had said unto me, whatsoever thing ye ask in faith, believing that ye shall receive in the name of Christ, ye shall receive it." And in other places it says, "that which is good." Verse 25, "And I had faith, and I did cry unto God that he would preserve the records." And I'm going to stop a second. In Ephesians 2, it says that faith is a gift of God. So if you don't have it, cry out to him for it. He says in another place that if we as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask of him. So in verse 26, "And he covenanted with me that he would bring them forth unto the Lamanites in his own due time. And I, Enos, knew it would be according to the covenant which he had made. Wherefore my soul did rest." He knew God would fulfill his request. "And the Lord said unto me, thy fathers also have also required of me this thing." And you know, the Spirit of God does that. I love it. I love it when I come to church, we're in Sunday school or something, and I'm talking about something and God's put the same thing on somebody else's heart. And they're all in that same excitement as I am. And then the conversation goes on. Why? Because the Spirit of God put that in my heart and he put it in your heart. Okay, verse 28. And the Lord said unto me, thy fathers have also required of me this thing, and it shall be done unto them according to their faith, for their faith was like unto thine. And now it came to pass that I, Enos, went about among the people of Nephi, prophesying of things to come, and testifying of the things which I had heard and seen. And I bear record that the people of Nephi did seek diligently to restore the Lamanites unto the true faith in God. But our labors were vain. Their hatred was fixed. You know what I like, though? That they did it anyway. They labored anyway. And you read, so many years later, the sons of Mosiah, they did it. They went back to the Lamanites and they did it to save one soul. They gave up their years to save one soul. And God blessed them with thousands. But here, they did it. They didn't get to see the fruit of it, but they knew they did right. Verse 31, but our labors were vain, their hatred was fixed, and they were led by their evil nature, that they became wild and ferocious and a bloodthirsty people, full of idolatry and filthiness, feeding upon beasts of prey, dwelling in tents and wandering about in the wilderness with a short skin girded about their loins and their heads shaven. And their skill was the bow and the scimitar and the axe. And many of them did eat nothing save it was raw meat. And they were continually seeking to destroy us. And it came to pass that the people of Nephi did till the land and raise all manner of grain and of fruit and of flocks and of herds and of flocks of all manner of cattle. Excuse me. Grain and of fruit and of flocks of herds and of flocks of all manner of cattle and of every kind and goats and wild goats and also many horses. And there were exceeding many prophets among us, and the people were a stiff-necked people. So they began to be more prideful. They began to be a little more hard-hearted. When the word of God came to them, they didn't really give ear. And the people were a stiff-necked people, hard to understand. And there was nothing save it was exceeding harshness, preaching and prophesying of wars and contentions and destructions and continually reminding them of death and the duration of eternity and the judgments and the power of God. Now, I think sometimes we're in that same type of generation, that's the kind of things we need to hear to wake us up to a sense of our duty before God. Verse 38, and all these things stirring them up continually to keep them in the fear of the Lord. Our brother Don spoke to us this morning that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's why they were preaching these things. They weren't walking in wisdom. We heard a good sermon this morning on wisdom, how we need it. If we don't have it, we know. We need to be reading. What's going to happen to us if we don't obtain that wisdom, that love of God, that power of God, and if it's not working in us and through us? We need to be reading what's going to happen to us. We need to have that fear of the Lord. 39, I say there was nothing short of these things and exceeding great plainness of speech. How I love the Book of Mormon because there's so much plainness in it. Okay, I say in verse 39, I say there was nothing short of these things, and exceeding great plainness of speech would keep them from going down speedily to destruction. And after this manner do I write concerning them. And I saw wars between the Nephites and the Lamanites in the course of my days. And it came to pass that I began to be old, and 179 years had passed away from the time that our father Lehi left Jerusalem. So what was it before when we were reading? Clear back to the beginning of Jacob, 55 years. Now it's 179 years later. So 124 years had passed away since when we started reading. Verse 43, and as I saw that I must soon go down to my grave, having been wrought upon by the power of God, that I must preach and prophesy unto this people and declare the word according to the truth which is in Christ. And I have declared it in all my days and have rejoiced in it above that of the world. He knew the world. He disobeyed. And when he received that great joy, when he received that remission of sins, he wanted to serve Christ the rest of his life, and he did. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 45, and I soon go to the place of my rest, which is with my Redeemer, for I know that in him I shall rest. And I rejoice in the day when my mortal shall put on immortality, and shall stand before him. Then shall I see his face with pleasure, and he will say unto me, come unto me, ye blessed. There is a place prepared for you in the mansions of my Father. What a glorious day if we shall receive that same reward. Amen. Verse 1 of the book of Jerob, saying at the bottom of this page, 400 B.C., now behold, I, Jerob, write a few words according to the commandments of my father Enos, that our genealogy may be kept. I want you to notice a little bit of change of words, and I don't know, maybe I'm being too hard on Jerob here. It seems that he was still obedient, but I don't know. I just noticed a little bit. Maybe less of obedience or faith than Enos had. But it says, now behold, I, Jerob, write a few words according to the commandment of my father Enos, that our genealogy may be kept. And as these plates are small, and I guess to me, when I first started reading this chapter, this book, he didn't say that. And maybe I forgot. Maybe later on he'll say it. But he said that our genealogy may be kept. That's something a lot more temporal than his father said and his father's father said. But that his son's sons would be preserved, that the Lamanites would be preserved, that they would seek Christ. But he says that our genealogy may be kept. Verse 2, and as these plates are small, and as these things are written for the intent of the benefit of our brethren, the Lamanites. Well, see, now I was wrong, because now it's saying it. He's saying it, so forgive me, I was wrong. Okay, and as these plates are small, and as these things are written for the intent of the benefit of our brethren, the Lamanites, wherefore it must needs be that I write a little. But I shall not write the things of my prophesying, nor of my revelations. For what could I write more than my fathers have written? I'd kind of like to have heard him, but maybe he was doing the will of God. Verse 4. For have not they revealed the plan of salvation, being his fathers? I say unto you, yea, and this sufficeth me. Behold, it is expedient that much should be done among this people because of the hardness of their hearts and the deafness of their ears and the blindness of their minds and the stiffness of their necks. Nevertheless, God is exceeding merciful unto them and hath not yet swept them off the face of the land. And there are many among us which have many revelations, and they are not all stiff-necked. And as many as are not stiff-necked and have faith, have communion with the Holy Spirit. You know, that's something we should have daily, is communion with the Holy Spirit. When we were baptized by God. First we were baptized in water, and then we were baptized by God with fire and the Holy Ghost. That was a gift of God, a gift that we shouldn't take lightly. And so we need to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, not stiff necks, but have faith that we might have communion with the Holy Spirit, like he says these people did. And as many as are not stiff-necked and have faith, have communion with the Holy Spirit, which maketh manifest unto the children of men according to their faith. And now behold, 200 years have passed away, and the people of Nephi have waxed strong in the land. They observe to keep the law of Moses and the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord. You know, that's you see throughout this history, that as they obey, as they do God's will, they're blessed in the land and strengthened. But as we will soon read, when they disobey, how quickly destruction comes. Verse 11, they observed to keep the law of Moses and the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord, and they profaned not, neither did they blaspheme. And the laws of the land were exceeding strict, and they were scattered upon the face of the land, and the Lamanites also. And they were exceeding more numerous than were the Nephites, and they loved, speaking of the Lamanites, they loved murder and would drink the blood of beasts. And it came to pass that they came many times against us, the Nephites, to battle. But our kings and our leaders were mighty men in the faith of the Lord, and they taught the people the ways of the Lord. Wherefore we withstood the Lamanites and swept them away out of our lands and began to fortify our cities and whatsoever place of our inheritance. And we multiplied exceedingly, and spread upon the face of the land, and became exceeding rich in gold and in silver and in precious things and in fine workmanship of wood and buildings and in machinery and also in iron and copper and brass and steel, making all manner of tools of every kind to till the ground and weapons of war. Yea, the sharp pointed arrow and the quiver and the dart and the javelin and all preparations of war, and thus being prepared to meet the Lamanites that did not prosper against us. That sounds like us. We've been so blessed in our you know, the Industrial Revolution and the history of the United States. How many things we've been blessed with. Sounds like us. Verse 22. But the word of the Lord was verified, which he spake unto our father, saying, that inasmuch as ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. They saw that fulfilled. And it came to pass that the prophets of the Lord did threaten the people of Nephi, according to the word of God, that if they did not keep the commandments, but should fall into transgression, they should be destroyed from off the face of the land. Wherefore the prophets and the priests and the teachers did labor diligently, exhorting with all long suffering that the people to diligence, teaching the law of Moses and the intent for which it was given, persuading them to look forward unto the Messiah and believe in him to come, as though he already was. And after this manner did they teach them. And it came to pass that by so doing they kept them from being destroyed upon the face of the land. For they did prick their hearts with the word, continually stirring them up unto repentance. And it came to pass that 238 years had passed away after the manner of wars and contentions and dissensions for the space of much of time. for the space of much of the time. And I, Jerem, do not write more, for the plates are small. But behold, my brethren, ye can go to the other plates of Nephi, for behold, upon them the record of our wars are engraven, according to the writings of the kings, of that which they caused to be written. And I deliver these plates into the hands of my son Omni, that they may be kept according to the commandments of my fathers. So there was still obedience, at least by some, and some were stiff-necked. Continuing in the book of Omni, first verse, behold, it came to pass that I, Omni, being commanded of my father Jerem that I should write somewhat upon these plates to preserve our genealogy. There's that word again, genealogy. Wherefore in my we could just brush right over that, but I think there's something real important there. It says, I would that ye should know that I fought much with the sword to preserve my people. It says in verse 3, but behold, I of myself am a wicked man and have not kept the statutes and the commandments of the Lord as I ought to have done. You look at his fathers and you look back down King Benjamin, and you find that it was the people that knew of their nothingness and turned all control over to God with faith in God. Those were the people, through their faith in Christ, and go back to the promise that in verse 22, that inasmuch as ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. But he says in verse 3, he didn't, that he was a wicked man, that he has not kept the statutes and the commandments of the Lord as he ought to have done. What did he do? It says in verse 2, wherefore in my days I would that ye should know that I fought much with the sword to preserve his people. That's what he did. He trusted in his own flesh. He tried to save his people himself rather than doing what his fathers had done before him, keeping the commandments of God. Verse 4, and it came to pass that 276 years had passed away, and we had many seasons of peace, and we had many seasons of serious war and bloodshed. Yea, and fine, 282 years had passed away. It was 55 when we started, so 282 is 55. Oh, 227 years had passed away since we started reading. And verse 4. It came to pass that 276 years had passed away. We had many seasons of peace, and we had many seasons of serious war and bloodshed. Yea, and fine, 282 years had passed away, and I kept these plates according to the commandments of my fathers, and I conferred them upon my son Amram. And I make an end. And now I, Amram, write the things whatsoever I write, which are few in the book of my father. Behold, it came to pass that 320 years had passed away, and a more wicked part of the Nephites were destroyed. For the Lord would not suffer, after he had led them out of the land of Jerusalem, and kept and preserved them from falling into the hands of their enemies. Yea, he would not suffer that the words should not be verified. For he spake unto our father, saying that inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandments, ye shall not prosper in the land. Wherefore the Lord did visit them in great judgment. Nevertheless, he did spare the righteous, and that they should not perish, but did deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. And it came to pass that I did deliver the plates unto my brother Chemish. Now I, Chemish, write what few things I write in the same book with my brother. For behold, I saw the last which he wrote, and he wrote it with his own hand, and he wrote it in the day which he delivered them unto me. And after this manner we keep the records, for it is according to the commandments of our Father, I make an end. You notice how you feel the Spirit of God in the words of those who kept his commandments. And then you feel the coldness of those who didn't. So he says, I make an end. Verse 18. Behold, I am Amalickiah, the son of Abinadab. Behold, I will speak unto you somewhat concerning Mosiah, which was made king over the land of Zarahemla. For behold, he being warned of the Lord that he should flee out of the land of Nephi, and as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord should also depart out of the land with him into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he did according as the Lord had commanded him. And they departed out of the land into the wilderness, as many as would hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And they were led by many preachings and prophesyings, and they were admonished continually by the word of God, and they were led by the power of his arm through the wilderness until they came down into the land which is called the land of Zarahemla. And they discovered a people which were called the people of Zarahemla. Now there was a great rejoicing among the people of Zarahemla, and also Zarahemla did rejoice exceedingly, because that the Lord had sent the people of Mosiah with the plates of brass which contained the record of the Jews. Behold, it came to pass that Mosiah discovered that the people of Zarahemla came out from Jerusalem at the time that Zedekiah, king of Judah, was carried away captive into Babylon. I had told you, when I was reading through this today, I had totally forgotten about this. And it shows how merciful God is to those who believe in him, who seek him diligently. They were led out of Jerusalem, led out of captivity. Not only Nephi and his brothers and his father and his mother, but the people of Zarahemla were led out another time. And God, in his infinite mercy, led them to the people of Mosiah. Why? So that they could have his word. I don't think I've read that yet. But they didn't come out of Jerusalem with records like the people of Nephi. I need to keep a finger in the book. Can somebody tell me where I was? 26. Okay. And they journeyed in the wilderness and were brought by the hand of the Lord across the great waters into the land where Mosiah discovered them. And they had dwelt there from that time forth. And at the time that Mosiah discovered them, they had become exceedingly numerous. Nevertheless, they had many wars and serious contentions, and had fallen by the sword from time to time, and their language had become corrupted, and they had brought no records with them. And if you remember the promise to Nephi, when he was there in faith, when the angel had come to him and told him, I think the angel had come to him, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and told them to go back into Jerusalem and gather those records. And his brothers were speaking against him and wanting to fight him. And went in there after being chased out, wanting to be killed by the servants of Laban. He had faith that what God said was true, that if they did not leave with those records, that his children would die, would perish in unbelief. And so, that's what was happening to this people of Zarahemla. But God in his mercy met them up with the people of Mosiah. But it says here in verse 30, and their language had become corrupted, and they had brought no records with them. Verse 31, and they denied the being of their creator. See, they were dwindling in unbelief. Well, they were in unbelief. And they denied the being of their creator, and Mosiah, nor the people of Mosiah could understand them. But it came to pass that Mosiah caused that they should be taught in his language. And it came to pass after they were taught in the language of Mosiah, Zarahemla gave a genealogy of his fathers according to his memory, and they are written, but not in these plates. And it came to pass that the people of Zarahemla and of Mosiah did unite together, and Mosiah was appointed to be their king. And it came to pass in the days of Mosiah, there was a large stone brought unto him with engravings on it, and did interpret the engravings by the gift and power of God. And they gave an account of one Coriantumr and the slain of his people. And Coriantumr was discovered by the people of Zarahemla, and he dwelt with them for the space of 9 moons. It also spake a few words concerning his fathers, and his parents came out from the tower at the time the Lord confounded the language of the people, and the severity of the Lord fell upon them according to his judgments, which are just, and their bones lay scattered in the land northward. But behold, I, Amalekai, was born in the days of Mosiah, and I have lived to see his death, and Benjamin, his son, reigneth in his stead. And behold, I have seen in the days of King Benjamin a serious war and much bloodshed between the Nephites and the Lamanites. But behold, the Nephites did obtain much advantage over them, yea, insomuch that King Benjamin did drive them out of the land of Zarahemla. And it came to pass that I began to be old, and having no seed, and knowing King Benjamin to be a just man before the Lord, wherefore I shall deliver up these plates unto him, exhorting all men to come unto God, the Holy One of Israel, and believe in prophesying, and in revelations, and in the ministering of angels, and the gift of speaking with tongues, and in the gift of interpreting languages, and in all these things which are good. And there is nothing which is good save it comes from the Lord, and that which is evil cometh from the devil. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, which is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, continue in fasting and prayer, and endure to the end, and as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved. And I would speak somewhat concerning a certain number which went up unto the wilderness to return unto the land of Nephi. For there was a large number which was desirous to possess the land of their inheritance, wherefore they went up into the wilderness. And their leader being a strong and a mighty man, and a stiff-necked man, wherefore he caused a contention among them, and they were all slain, save 50, in the wilderness. And they returned again to the land of Zarahemla. And it came to pass, they also took others to a considerable number, and took their journey again into the wilderness. And I, Amalekai, had a brother, which also went with them, and I have not since known concerning them, and I am about to lie down in my grave, and these plates are full, and I make an end of my speaking. And I think it's good to end there, but I wanted to take us through a history of some 385. We started at 5 45, ended at 385. Has anybody got the math? Long time. But what's important to know, and this promises to us, it says in some other place, I can't quote it, to all people shall that possess this land. That if they not do not serve the God of this land, he will swipe them off. And that remains to us. He showed that he was willing to spare the righteous. They were willing, they desired that their brethren would come to know Christ. We should do the same. We should serve the God of our land. And as Amalekai stated in verse 46, "And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, which is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him. And continue in fasting and prayer and endure to the end. And as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved." May we all be blessed with that reward. God bless you.
Thank you, Darren. We have a note here that they're asking for prayers for a niece of Uncle Nicholas's. Her name is Connie Wood Hamus. And if you could remember her in your prayers. I think there was also, didn't the CCG, we sent out a prayer request for that. All right. We have a new address for David Welch. We'll put that up on the bulletin board. And